Welcome to Legal Talk with attorney Kevin Flesch of Flesch and Beck Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesch and Beck Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesch and Beck Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Whatley, and attorney Kevin Flesch.
Welcome to Legal Talk. My name is Scott Whatley, and we are glad you are with us. Our show is brought to you by Flesch and Beck Law, and it's always good to have attorney Kevin Flesch in studio with us. Kevin, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks, Scott.
It is great to see you, as always. Things been busy?
Things have been busy, yeah. It's been good. It's the law business is, you know, it's keeping me out of trouble. Let's put it that way. We had a long period of time where there weren't a lot of trials, and just based upon the volume of our caseload and the fact that we don't either resolve in the civil context, we're either getting fair value and we're trying the case, or we're trying the case, or in the criminal context, we're criminal defense clients, we're not getting a good plea bargain, and we're trying cases. It means that I'm trying a lot of cases.
Sure.
In the last 5 weeks, I think I've tried 4 cases.
And
which
jurors
is a lot.
Are in there with you in a whole 9 years?
Oh, yeah, the whole deal.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm picking jurors. I mean, I've picked. It's been really interesting. So I've had so many in a row that I'm getting pretty good at it. I'm really figuring it out.
Yeah.
No, but one of the things I do, which is kind of fun for me, is once we sort of pick the jury, then I always guess as to who the foreperson has been. Mm-hmm. And I've been spot on the last 3 jurors. I've picked the foreperson for the last 3 jurors. So I think voir dire and jury selection is an art. It's not a science.
Sure.
But I think there are some things that I've been doing more recently, and I really enjoy that part of the trial process because you get to really try to have people talk. We've talked about that before. My theory on jury selection is I'm not telling them what they should think. I'm trying to figure out what they bring to the party and see if it's helpful for my case,
because
every case is different. So from the standpoint of jury selection if I can pick who I think the foreperson is and I have a good sense of what they're going to be like in the room, then it helps me in sort of presenting evidence. And so since I've picked the right person the last 3 times, and I thought what their sort of mindset was, it's been their verdicts have been very acceptable.
Wow,
yeah.
Good.
So it's been really good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's been really interesting. And yes, we're back in the courtrooms on masks. Everybody's wearing masks except for witnesses. But you know what?
So witnesses, huh?
Yeah. So the idea is and I agree. So when we first started this whole process, the witness box, and in fact, 2 of the cases that I've had, the witness box had plexiglass all the way around it. So
it's got to feel weird for the person there.
It's really weird.
Got to feel like they're a Bass Pro in the fish aquarium or something. Yeah.
Or at a hockey game and they've just been put in the penalty box.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it reminds me a lot of. But the idea is that the jurors can see the witness and their facial expressions and everything else. And it gives them another tool to make determinations.
Yeah, it's hard to see emotion or whatever when you can't see with their
eyes. It's
really
hard. Although I'm getting really good at body language and eye movements and picking
getting
jurors.
A whole new skill set here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would be. I was gonna say, you know, it's one of those things where talking about sort of the Middle East and people having their face coverings and trying to pick a jury with just the eyes. I'm getting better at it. It's still not easy, but it's what we have.
Right.
And there are lots of lawyers out there right now that aren't doing trials because they say that it's not constitutional with the masks, that you can't get full explanation of what the people are feeling based upon their facial expressions. Some judges are buying that argument, some aren't. I mean, the way I look at it is you're just putting off the inevitable, and so I'll try the case if we're able to. I mean, we didn't have juries for a year,
right?
14 months where we just couldn't get these cases done, and so we've got this backlog of cases, but we're getting through them, and it's good.
Good.
And good results for clients. Clients are very happy with where we've been going. So
good deal.
Yeah.
Flesch and Beck Law, 303-806-8886 is the number. And I always tell you, put that number in your phone. You never know when you may need it. Hey, to be honest, we hope you don't. But if you do, you've got it right there at your fingertips. All right. Certainly, if you are driving, you have noticed traffic. And for several months been back. But, man alive, Kevin, I don't care what time of day, what highway you're on, it is with construction, whatever, but just the number of cars and accidents you see are
I feel like
really
it's back
risen.
To pre-pandemic levels, and then people are just driving more recklessly because they're used to not having as many cars on the road. So, yeah, you've got a defensive driving. You got to make sure that you're doing what you need to do to protect yourself, and then every morning driving to work. It doesn't matter what time I'm driving to work. There's always an accident or two on somewhere on the highway. So.
Sure.
It's definitely picking up, unfortunately.
Right. We're going to give you some items today, things to make sure that you do if you are involved in an accident. And we'll touch on this real quick, Kevin. We're not talking about, you know, where your car is total. We're talking about, hey, somebody bumps into the back of you a little bit. These are still guidelines to follow, right?
They are. It just doesn't matter. If you have any sort of accident on the roadway, you should follow through with these sort of the top 10 list of things that we recommend. And the reason is because we've just, over the last 25 years, there are things that come up in cases that make a difference down the road, and it's things that we want to make sure people are aware of. And part of our show, whenever we do this, is I'm trying to educate the public so that when they have the situation happen, they do the things that are necessary to help themselves in the long run.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you do get into an accident, I don't know what happens to our brain, but I'm going to tell you, it shakes you up.
Oh, it does.
I don't care how bad it is.
Oh, I've had the situations happen to me. Not too many accidents, just a couple, but the few that I've had, been doing this a long time, and there's still things that you forget to do because either adrenaline or something else. I mean, it's a traumatic event for anybody, no matter what it is, whether it's a simple little fender bender or something much more significant. It's still the same. Your brain and your body goes through things that affect you and affect your ability to react in a manner that's sort of rational sometimes.
Right. All right. All right. Give us what you feel would be number one.
Number one, when the accident happens, in no circumstance agree with the other party to just get information and not call the police. I mean, obviously, if we're under an accident alert and you can't do it then because of weather or whatever's going on, that's one thing. But all of the other times, always call the police to show up and make a report.
And the benefits of doing that are?
The benefits are numerous. Number one, in today's sort of electronic environment, you can do a counter report from anywhere, and you can say anything in it. Mm-hmm. And so if you have competing counter reports from the two different drivers that are involved, or the three drivers, or however many there are, that's going to be a problem for you relating to how you prove what really happened. You'll want to have a police officer show up who's got at least some training with regard to accident reconstruction or accident investigation to make a report and make their own conclusions. Now, police officers do make mistakes, but it's a much smaller percentage than if you don't have it done at all and you don't have it documented. The other thing that happens is insurance companies rely on those reports in making claims decisions. And so when there isn't a report for them to consider, you then have to go through either recorded statements or provide them other evidence that's just going to be more problematic down the road. So you get into an accident, even if you don't have any injuries at that point, because a lot of times we've talked about this.
Sure.
Whiplash doesn't sometimes occur for 3 days. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're feeling pretty good, the adrenaline's going, but you're like, oh, I don't think there's a big deal, and you're like, it's not really important to get a police officer. I'm saying every time get a police officer involved because they're going to help you down the road. They're going to get information that hopefully is more reliable in the sense of person's license and address and phone numbers and all of those sorts of things, whether they have insurance or not. I've had too many cases where people give you proof of insurance and say, good, we don't have to call the police, and that proof of insurance is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that all the time, because right now, with regard to COVID and other things, most people are getting their insurance online. They pay that first month. They get the proof of insurance for 6 months. They stop paying. They still have that proof of insurance when they don't have insurance for those last 5 months.
Right, right.
And so you just don't want to do that. Now, it may be that the police officer gets that same information, but it's more likely than not the person isn't going to lie to a
They're
police
They're going to be a little
officer.
More nervous.
They are. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a separate charge, right?
Right?
I mean, you're lying to a peace officer. You can be charged with that by itself.
Yeah.
So it's generally one of those things where people are much more upfront and honest when a man or woman in blue is standing outside their car asking them for information.
Right.
Yep.
And then when it comes to our next item is, you know, tending to injuries and stuff. And, I mean, if you feel like you're okay, is there any liability when you go over to the other car and try to help somebody as far as giving them medical attention?
No, not at all.
Arise?
No, in fact, there's a statute in Colorado that talks about individuals trying to help people out in an emergency like that, that there's no liability. I mean, the other thing you've got to be mindful of is that the statements you make at the scene could be used against you later. You certainly don't want to say that you were at fault.
I'm so sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I'm so sorry can mean a lot of things. And especially if you've been hit, you don't want to say I'm sorry.
Right.
Because that does make you wonder. But if you're concerned and empathetic, you can certainly say other things to see how a person is doing. I mean, I've had a number of cases where the at-fault party is completely besides themselves in anxiety because they know that they've caused the accident. And the person that was hit is feeling okay at that point, and they go over and add and help them. Mm-hmm. And that actually helps in the long run sometimes because it shows that you're not trying to create a situation. You were helpful to them, but you knew that they were at fault for what took place.
Right.
And so it makes you seem like more of a human being, quite frankly,
sure.
Rather than going over and berating the person.
Yeah.
Because I've had those cases too, and sometimes those are hard to settle because the other party is so devastated by what you may have said at the scene and they thought it was over the top that they say to their insurance company, I want to fight this to make it difficult for them to get compensation. So
gotcha.
I think the idea of just being always kind, no matter what the situation is still true in the course of an accident and what's taken place in the aftermath. Now, in the event, and I've had lots of people do this, where they're hurt at the scene, they tell the police officers, hey, I'm hurt, but I don't need an ambulance. I'm not bleeding out. I'm not, you know, it's not a situation where I have broken bones. And then they call someone to have them picked up, and then they go to an urgent care, or they go to an emergency room themselves, and they save, you know, themselves an ambulance ride anymore is anywhere from $1,200 to $1,800.
Right.
So they save themselves that, and their insurance companies a lot of times that. But if you're on the edge and you're not sure, take that medical treatment because you need it. And
sure.
Because it helps you in the long run explain the significance of your injuries.
Right. You're listening to Legal Talk. Kevin Flesh is with us. Once again, it is Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886. If you're just joining us, we are kind of giving you a top 10 list of things to do if you are involved in an auto accident. Next would be, and we've talked about this a multitude of times, but, you know, documentation helps you help us.
Yes.
So getting, you know, phone numbers and pictures are so easy now with our phones, but also witnesses. And, of course, we're talking about, you know, if you're not in the back of an ambulance. I mean, if you're there walking around
right.
And somebody's right there, I mean, how do you go about asking just, hey, would you mind writing something down?
Yes.
Or,
yep.
And getting their information?
Yeah. Yeah. So if the person is there and they're willing to give aid and they're also there saying, I saw what happened and, you know, the other party's at fault and they're a witness for you, you want to get their contact information. You want to get their name, address, telephone number. And if you're not able to do that, if they don't have a business card or they don't have the ability to write things down, just take your phone and videotape them.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them, ask them who they are, you know, how to get a hold of them, all of that sort of thing, so that you have that as evidence so that we can use it. Because, you know, there's so many times. I met with a new client yesterday in which he was on a bike and got hit by a car, and he had two witnesses that said it wasn't his fault. But he didn't have that information relating to those witnesses.
No, right.
And police officer came out, and the police officer in Denver, because Denver, I would say, historically is not favorable to bicyclists, thought that he was the person that was at fault. And so in the police report, I had the police report, he had brought it with him, he's the first vehicle. And it's universally known that when they complete the police reports, the person's at fault is the first vehicle. So, you know, it just wasn't helpful because now all I have is the police officer and the other driver saying this particular individual was at fault. If I'd had those two other witnesses,
right,
I may have been really golden. I may have been in a situation where those witnesses were rock stars and they were completely believable, and then I could overcome that situation. But because of it, I couldn't.
Hmm.
And so it's those sorts of things that you need to harvest that information. And again, it's one of those things that we always talk about because it's so important. You will never get that information back.
Yeah.
I mean, every once in a while, you'll see these little signs on these intersections, like there was an accident here 3 weeks ago.
Right.
You know, if you saw it, please call us.
Oh, I've seen that before.
Exactly.
Sure.
And that's probably a lawyer or somebody in their office trying to recreate some of that information.
Right.
And that's why it's so important to get it at the scene, because if you can't, it's generally gone.
Because your memory, I mean, I'm telling you, you know, somebody can ask us what happened 3 weeks ago.
Shoot.
And something, we were both that, and we're both probably going to tell a different story.
Completely.
You know? It just happens that way.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And so it's exactly that. And eyewitness testimony is fickle. I mean, there's lots of studies out there, and and anybody who's not driving could Google bouncing basketball and gorilla and watch a video about exactly that. And that it's really interesting about what people focus on, and that's really what the difference in eyewitness testimony is different people focus on different things.
Right.
And if your mind is focusing on one thing, it sometimes blocks out the other things that are going around it. And that video in particular is one of those things where if you do it and you watch it, it's very interesting, and it's also very disheartening as an eyewitness and people that rely on eyewitness testimony, because the human brain really is complex in that regard.
So quick question. I have never thought about this in all the years we've been doing this. If you're on your bicycle, does your auto insurance...
Yep. So
cover you just the same as if you were in a car?
So in the event that you get into an accident with an auto, yes.
Okay.
Because it has to be with an automobile, and then your auto coverage would cover. So the underinsured, uninsured motorists, and the MedPay would cover.
Right.
If it's something else, then no.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a really interesting case recently where we were trying to figure out whether or not auto coverage would cover something when there wasn't an automobile involved.
Right. Like if another guy smashes into you on his bike at an intersection.
Yeah, then maybe homeowners,
because
there may be a negligence claim relating to homeowners coverage. But no, most people don't have bicycle insurance. So, but yeah, it's definitely one of the, or at least that I'm not aware of. It's normally covered under renters or homeowners relating to negligence in the event that off-premises negligence.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, let's say you're in a multi-car accident,
mm-hmm.
and do you get just the driver's information that hit you, or do you need to go to all other four drivers and get their information too?
You really need to get everybody's information, and those cases are one of the harder cases that we handle, because there's always so many people pointing fingers at who exactly caused the accidents. And so you want to get all of the information relating to all of the drivers, relating to anybody else that saw anything relating to the cause. Because the cause could be from the front, it could be from the back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just don't know until it's fully investigated, and definitely have the police called out, because with that many vehicles involved, it's always very difficult to get to the bottom of who exactly is at fault. And that's where that whole premise of contributory negligence comes into play as well, with regard to, you know, on our roadways, we, generally speaking, are driving too close to the vehicles in front and behind us,
right?
We're always going at speed 60 to 80 miles an hour. At 60 miles an hour, you are traveling at 88 feet per second. So that's 30 yards per second. So in 3 seconds, you travel the length of a football field. It's about 2.5 to 3 seconds for you to react and stop. So we shouldn't be 10 feet apart. And the majority of the time we are. Maybe not 10 feet, but 20.
Right.
I mean, a car length you in bumper to bumper traffic, right? If you have more than a car length or two in front of you, people are coming in and moving. So from the standpoint of a four-car accident, when you get multiple people running into each other, there's always going to be the argument about, well, what is who is not having enough distance between the car in front of them?
Right.
And so that's why it's so important to get all of that information, so that you can figure all of that out and figure out who you can make a claim against. Because, there's a deer in the road and somebody's, I've had that case.
Sure.
And there's too many, there's not enough distance between the three people behind you. You're doing the right thing by trying to stop and not hit the deer. The three people behind you are following too closely and they're the ones that have caused the accident. Mm-hmm. But then you get the person that the traffic has stopped. They're on their phone doing something else, playing with stuff in their car, and they don't realize the traffic has stopped, and they rear end, and they cause three people in front of them. So it's back. It's normally either front or back where you run into issues.
Right. Pictures, pictures, pictures. Pictures worth a thousand words.
We have in our – so coming up on my 25th anniversary of being a lawyer – the first 5 years that I was practicing law, if I would have had pictures of things the way we have pictures now, jurors would be like, you're just trying to make up lawsuits. You're, you know, all of your clients are just making stuff up. Now that's all jurors want to see. They want to see video. They want to see pictures. Mm-hmm. They want to listen a little bit to the testimony. But if it's testimony versus a picture or a video, they're going to take that picture or video over the testimony all day long.
Right.
And so, yeah, and we've got these great devices that are able to do it.
Sure.
And it's, quite frankly, from the standpoint of trying cases, it's fantastic.
Right.
Criminal cases, we're getting much better evidence with regard to what's going on with voluntary roadside maneuvers and how police officers are acting towards defendants. And just there, you can't really argue a lot mm-hmm. of times what that evidence is. The same thing in civil cases, though. I just finished a trial. Same thing. We had video evidence relating to an assault, and if I hadn't had that video evidence, I may not have been in as good a shape as we were.
Wow.
But luckily, there was a bystander that heard a commotion, said, this is weird, and started videotaping something that they had no idea what it was, and we were able to get that. They contacted my client after he was assaulted and gave it to him, so we were able to use it at trial, and it made a completely different case than
right.
if we didn't have it. So yeah, whatever you can do, and talking about writing things down or gathering evidence, do anything you can by taking pictures of vehicle identification numbers rather mm-hmm. than writing them down. License plates, what a person looks like, you know, how they got out of the car, were they in the passenger seat or the driver's seat, pictures of how the vehicles end up, because that sometimes is really important.
Right.
You can move the vehicles, and obviously in most cases, if you're on an interstate, mm-hmm. you, by law, have to. But before you do it, maybe get out and take pictures if it's safe, and you can do so without, you know, dealing with your medical conditions. All of those we have such wonderful technology to gather.
Kevin Flesh is with us, Flesh and Beck Law. We are going over kind of a top 10 list. If you're just joining us, Kevin says, hey, call the police. Of course, tend to your injuries and help the others if you can. Get good witness information. Get insurance information. Take as many pictures as you can. And then, Kevin, boy, this is vital. Seek medical attention right away.
Completely.
No matter what you think you feel like.
Yeah. Go see. So if it's not an emergency situation where you don't need urgent care or emergency care, because that's easy. You ambulance ride, friend, family takes you to the doctor. It's clear that you have problems. But if not, the next day, go to your primary care physician. Get checked out. Make sure everything's okay. Day two, day three, especially in rear-end crashes, is when most people have the issues with regard to whiplash and other either cervical issues, that's your neck, or lumbar with your lower back. Or if you have any tingle, anything that you think is out of the ordinary, you need to go see your doctor to document it. Explain to them what happened. And be very clear and specific with them about how your injuries occurred. Because in these situations, we've got to prove liability, that someone mm-hmm. else is at fault, that person caused your injuries. So they did it. They caused you injury. So there's a direct link. There's dots directly to the injury.
Sure.
And then what the injuries are. And you may not know what those injuries are for several weeks, but go in and get taken care of and get a record about it happening.
Right.
Not embellishing anything, not making anything up. You're just protecting yourself in that regard. Because when something really happens, I've had this happen, where the person is pretty good, and they're optimistic about what has happened to them, and then 3 days later they're in the emergency room with a subdural hematoma,
mm-hmm.
a brain bleed because the trauma of the accident, and they go the first day to say, hey, I'm a little off, but okay. And then 3 days later, you know, they're in the hospital having a procedure. It's much easier to connect those dots that there's nothing that happened in that 3 day time period.
Sure. And the next thing then, call 303-806-8886. I mean, you know, you want to get a hold of you as quick as possible.
Yeah.
Just to kind of walk us through, you know, because you're going to be getting calls probably in a few days from the insurance. And, again, we're not talking about misrepresenting something or lying to them when they ask you how you feel, but they're probably going to ask you,
yes,
as their courteous way of greeting you, how are you feeling?
Exactly. And most people are positive, and they say, I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
And you don't want to say that when you're not. Mm-hmm. And you also don't – the other thing that people have trouble with is the area of – this practice with personal injuries, most people have so many different avenues to get their medical treatment paid for. If you have car insurance with MedPay, that's one way. If you have health insurance, that's one way. You may have disability insurance. You may have been in a work vehicle, and you may have insurance through your work. There's lots of different ways to get things compensated, and you want to manage that. Those resources, and most people don't know how to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most people will give their MedPay information to the individuals who are the first responders and the emergency room, and that money that they could use for their own copays or other things later are sucked up by those individual entities because they get paid almost full rate for those versus maybe a contract
rate.
With their health insurance. So there's always things you need to consider, and getting a hold of us sooner than later. You know, we handle the cases on a contingency. We don't get paid until we get the matter resolved. So I always wonder why people wait.
I know.
Because we're going to do more work for you and get paid the same. I mean,
right.
In any other environment,
yeah. You'd whether be you like, call me 30 minutes after the yeah. wreck happened or a year after that, and you get paid the same.
I get paid the same. So
call now.
Call now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's always better to get us involved early because we help you set it up so that you don't have these gaps and you don't have these things that the insurance company can use against you, because we're educating you as we go along.
Sure.
And we're making sure that everything's going all right with you. And we're also a resource in the event that you need it for treatment. Hey, I've gone to the chiropractor for 8 months and I've sort of plateaued. The chiropractor wants me to go for another 4 months without getting an MRI or getting a medical opinion. Things like that mm-hmm. we can say, well, you know, maybe you should get a second opinion about this, or maybe right. you should think about this. Not treating you, we're not doctors, but
right.
we do enough of these cases that
yep.
we know the way things should go.
Right.
So that's really the resource we're there to help, so that people aren't anxious about it and worried about, oh, I don't know what I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
now, is it good to call you first to just kind of talk through before we even call our insurance company to tell them you were involved in an accident, or call your insurance company first and then
call the insurance company, make a claim. Don't make any statements.
That's why I thought it might be good to call you first.
Yeah.
Just go, hey, look.
Yeah.
You know.
Talk about it.
Yeah. Just to kind of guide us through.
Yep.
Again, not to misrepresent something, but they're recording everything and you just want to make sure.
Absolutely.
You don't say anything that's going to hurt.
That's
you.
Exactly right. You never want to say anything that you regret later.
Right. And then, as you mentioned, hey, you may be treating, you know, a month. You may be treating a year, year and a half. So, you know, taking some notes and kind of keeping it a journal of what's going on during
yep.
that time, again, can help you as we then get together to settle the case of what happened.
Yep. Or if you go to trial, I'm trying cases right now that accidents happened in 2017 and 2018, 4, 3 years ago. Most people don't remember what happened.
Yeah.
What really took place, and they want to, and they don't really want to remember the real pain and suffering that they went through.
Mm-hmm.
So a pain diary is really helpful.
Right.
Yep.
Once again, the number 303-806-8886, and just give Kevin and his team a call, and they'll be glad to help you. And so, real quick, you know, I see some ads from attorneys. They'll go, we do truck accidents, you know, and they act like this.
Yes.
We do motorcycle accidents. You know, we do auto accidents. Well, you do it all.
Yep.
Okay.
We do all auto accidents, all types of personal injury cases, premises liability cases, anything where someone is hurt by someone else's negligence in legal speak. The reason that you're seeing those is because those are the cases that normally have higher insurance limits,
right.
and the injuries are more significant. So they're really focusing in on those in the lawyer's marketing efforts.
All right.
Yep.
Kevin, always great information. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Flesh and Beck Law, fleshlawfirm.com. That's FLESCH lawfirm.com. And the number 303-806-8886. Thanks for joining us for Legal Talk. For Kevin Flesh, my name is Scott Whatley, and we are glad you have spent this time with us. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Don't go anywhere. Dr. Ben, coming up next, right here on KLZ 560.
Call now for a free consultation with Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, or visit fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H, fleshlawfirm.com. A proven team dedicated to your legal needs.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
AM 560, KLZ, your home station.
It's time for the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins. Dr. Ben is committed to helping patients find the root cause of their health problems. Increase your vitality to live your fullest life without drugs and surgery. Now, here's your host, Dan Muir.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins, Nashville, and Phoenix. I am your host, Dan Muir, and on the phone with me is the one and only Dr. Ben. Doc, how you doing today?
Hey, doing great. Trying to stay healthy in this crazy world we live in.
Well, you know, Doc, we're all going to die of COVID. We're all going to die tomorrow. It's going to happen. Just, hey, you know. But the only thing that'll save us is a mask and a vaccine. That's it. You can do anything else you want. You can be 500 pounds. You can eat ice cream all day long. You can do whatever you want to. But if you don't get the shot, if you don't wear the mask, you're doomed. That's it.
Krispy Kreme is now giving away two donuts for every time you get a shot.
Every time you get out, but it's just stand in line and get shots. I'm telling you, I'm just going to get a shot, two donuts. You know, I could probably do that. Can you do like once a week since you need the boosters all the time now?
So here's the interesting part. There's reports of a million people have jumped ahead and before their time to get a booster. And so, you know, there are people that are out there that are getting as many as they can.
Can I say this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me like the media, the administration, the government, all forms of government, whether it's the school board or the governor or the president, it just seems like that they've just got everybody that they can scared to death. And you know what they're scared to death of? A cold. That's how I look at this, a really bad cold.
You know, and here's the deal is, I'm not going to say that, you know, there's some people out there, like, oh my gosh, this doesn't, it's not a thing, it's just a flu, you know, da, da, da. And yet, you know, it is a thing. There are definitely people that I know there's patients I know that they have family members that have died,
yes,
maybe prematurely or something else from this. And so, you know, that's you know, what we're not going to say is that, oh, this is a made up thing. Not at all. But, you know, here's the statistics, and the Kaiser Foundation did a survey of people, just calling people up and asking them, you know, hey, what do you watch for news? And they said, oh, I watch CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, whatever it is, mainstream media. And they said, okay, well, what do you think your chances of dying are if you get COVID? And guess what? It was 50% chance of dying what people were thinking if they watch mainstream media. And, you know, it's really 2%, you know, regardless of age and all those things. It was 2% chance. And so that really opened my eyes at that point. And like, well, no wonder if there was. And here's the thing is I just had a patient today that her doctor said, well, you're the type of person that's really most likely to go on a ventilator. And if that happens, you're probably going to die. You know, and you're like, wow, that's like, you know, seeing the future there. I don't think you can really see that future. But, you know, so half the people then, if they go to the hospital, are probably going to die. So that's 25% of the people, if they get sick, they're going to die. Well, it's nowhere even close to that number. And yet fear is a motivating factor for so many people.
Yeah, it's really ruling today. Fear, everybody's scared, and you can really tell it when people are, you know, in their cars driving by themselves with their mask on. I saw a person just even recently riding their bike outside with their mask on. I mean, that's just, that's total fear. I can't say it any other way.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay.
And,
all right.
And, you know, that, but it's so true because, you know, literally, if there was something that you could catch and you had a 25% chance of dying if you got that, you know, you might walk around in a bubble as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I want that big bubble that you could walk in that rolls with you. You know, that one?
Yeah.
Like a hamster one?
A little gerbil.
Yeah, gerbil one. So, okay. So, Doc, so sorry about the tangent. We got lots of stuff to talk about. I even got a text in question already. So let's start off with, what is functional medicine? What do you guys do, and what sets you apart from, let's say, a general practitioner?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to throw it out there, too, if you guys want to call in, if you've got any questions, we love to answer calls over the air or any texts as well. So,
yeah, and that phone, and that number to call in is 303-477-5600. 303-477-5600. Okay, Doc, go ahead.
Awesome. So, functional medicine, all about getting to the underlying why that you're having your issues. And that can be your gut can be out of balance, your liver can be off, your brain can be off, your blood sugar can be out of balance, or in a lot of our patients, everything is out of balance, and we just got to go through system by system by system. There's no magic supplement. There's no magic juju berry. There's no, if you drink enough red wine, I read a study about that. It's got antioxidants. It's going to be good for me. There's no one thing that's going to fix anybody out there. And so that's why the patients we get in, it doesn't matter. We see just as many teens and 20-something-year-olds as we do 50 and 60-year-olds. So what does that mean? Well, age doesn't matter. You know, sex doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You know, the body can go haywire, and when it goes haywire, you better go to the right place to get it fixed, because there, for the vast majority of people, there's no drug or surgery that's going to fix that.
Absolutely. And so, and you know, so many times too, we want to think it's a one size fits all type thing, or, you know, it's the magic diet pill, which you really need to invent, Doc, but it's, you know, we all think it's going to be that deal, but it's not. It's really individualized, isn't it?
Absolutely. I love to think about it this way. So you've heard of low thyroid. Everybody's heard of low thyroid disorder. And so you can line up 10 women. They all have low thyroid, even Hashimoto's, which is autoimmune low thyroid. You could line 10 of them up, and guess what? They're all going to have different systems out of balance. What does that mean? Well, one might have bacterial infection. Another has viral. One might have high blood sugar. The other, low blood sugar. One might be high iron. The other's low iron. So it just really depends on that person. They can all have the same diagnosis, but different reasons why. And then vice versa, you can have 10 people that have the exact same whys, the same systems, the same things out of balance. And what happens? Well, one person can be 100 pounds overweight. Another person can have a digestive disorder. Another person can have autoimmune. It can express itself differently, even though it's the same systems out of balance.
Wow. That's amazing. And that we're all so individualized that's how it works out. That's crazy. Okay. So, Doc, you've got your Facebook page, and I'm kind of moving us along because this half hour goes by way too fast, but your Facebook page, Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins, Nashville, and Phoenix. So go to this right now, gang. If you're sitting at home and you can get on Facebook, Doc, you posted this picture of a tongue, and I know I can't spell tongue, but I know what one looks like. And that is terrible. Tell us, what is going on with this tongue?
Yeah, so if you haven't checked out our Facebook page, we've got between all of our Facebook pages in Arizona, Nashville, everything, we've got almost 60,000 followers, tons of information. We're going live all the time, getting a lot of good research out there, talking about testosterone and hormones and thyroid and all types of different things. But this one, lady came in, and we take a picture of most everybody's tongue and then go and look at it and say, okay, well, you got some issues, or it's not too bad. And that one definitely had some issues. So this had some major white coating on there. Hopefully anybody that looks at that, they're not eating lunch, as they might have some problems.
But, they might.
You know, what that is and what we're looking for, and a lot of people on there said, oh, that's thrush. And it's like, well, this is a 77-year-old lady. You know, 77-year-old ladies usually don't get thrush. But what they do get is a microbiome imbalance. The microbiome is that whole universe in your digestive tract. And that means that digestive tract has bacteria, has yeast, has viruses, parasites, all these different things, and we can get out of balance, and we can have excess yeast, excess bad bacteria, things like that. And so a lot of people take probiotics, but the probiotic isn't enough. And most of the time we have to kill off the bad stuff and then build up the good stuff. And as that happens, that tongue is going to change. So your tongue is actually a great indicator of what is going on inside of your digestive tract.
Oh, okay.
So look in the mirror next time, Dan.
Yeah, God, that was just, you can't even brush that away, can you? I mean, that's just.
No.
Girl.
No, that's what people are like. You need to do tongue scraping. I'm like, you need some gut scraping, maybe.
Gut scraping, yeah, exactly. So, you know, a lot of people think, you know, okay, especially people like me, right, who are, oh, God. I first of all, I hate going to the doctor. I hate being told what to do. But eventually, you know, it all catches up to you. But when I first heard of leaky gut, I thought this is some sort of joke. I mean, nobody's guts leak. I mean, you know, but Doc, explain that a little bit, because you know, a lot of the things that people are dealing with do come right from the gut.
From the digestive tract. Well, let's just get a place of reference here. We have more serotonin receptors in our digestive tract than we have in our brain. So neurotransmitters, what are those? Those are serotonin, which is what Prozac works on. That's your feel-good neurotransmitter, all these different things. We've got more in our digestive tract than we do in our brain. So that's a huge thing that we look at is, you know, there's a book out even called Your Gut, the Second Brain, and it really is. So we've got that going on. We've got a huge part of our immune system is in our digestive tract. So that's going to be helping us fight off different things, and it's going to be helping to make fat-soluble vitamins and all types of stuff. If our gut is out of balance, then we're going to have a lot of other issues going on. So that's just to give an idea of, okay, what is the gut entail, and what do we need to focus on? So in that digestive tract, we have something called the small intestine. The small intestine is the long, skinny organ that is going to absorb most of our nutrients. It produces, and we excrete some enzymes in there and start breaking down some food, but it's mostly for absorption. And that is where we get what is called leaky gut. And so that leaky gut is going to have this lining that is impaired somehow, whether it opens up, we've got little tight junctions that open up, or there's actually damage in there, and it is going to not absorb in like it's supposed to. And this really showed me a couple years ago, I had a patient that she came in, she had had an upper GI done, meaning they send that camera down your throat, look in your stomach, look in your small intestine, look around, and it was raw, you know, just like red, looked like it was almost bleeding. It was really, really bad. So, and her skin looked the same way. She had like these big open sores. She was in really bad shape. So we went through, did our program, helped that gut lining heal up as much as we possibly could. And her doc, her GI doc, thankfully said, you know what, let's do another scope. It's been 7 months. January, and then I think it was July or August, we did that next one. And you know, he said, we better do another one because it was so bad. They did that second scan there, and it looked as smooth as a baby's butt. You could not see any damage, any scarring. They looked everywhere in there, and he was like, wow, this is really interesting. And that was the first time anybody had ever volunteered for a pre- and post-scope. I ask most of my patients, and nobody really wants to, to volunteer for that before we start care. So it was just really, really neat to see, man, I've known this happens for years and years, and now we actually were able to see it on camera and see exactly what was going on there.
That is absolutely incredible. And you're listening to the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins and now Nashville, Tennessee, and Phoenix, Arizona. To get a hold of Dr. Ben and his gang over there, give him a call at 970-282-1173 or go to fmcenters.com. Okay, Doc, so I'm going to change gears again. And I've got to talk to you about this text message that I received from a listener. And they had some blood work done. And they sent me a picture of their blood panel. And there was one on here that they were not sure exactly what this means. Maybe you know, maybe you don't. So it says reactive protein cardiac. Okay, so it says C-reactive protein cardiac. And his result was 5.13.
And yep. Does it say high there?
And the average is supposed to be like between 1 and 3. This seems really high. So
C-reactive protein is an inflammatory marker. And American Heart Association, the CDC, they say anything over 1 is an increased risk for future cardiovascular disease. Anything over 3 is a high risk for future cardiovascular disease. Does it just tell us about cardiovascular disease? No. I have lots of patients that come in. They've got rheumatoid arthritis. They've got major inflammatory process in the body. They're puffy. They're holding on to 20 pounds of extra fluid in their body, all these things, and we will see a high C-reactive protein. Even post-vaccine, I had a lady, hers was at 4, and I haven't talked about this this one much on Facebook. We can't go there, but her C-reactive protein was 4 when we first did the blood work, and we worked on blood sugar and liver and all these things, and all the other markers were doing great. She was feeling better, but when she redid that blood work, that C-reactive protein went up to 38. And
holy
I said,
cow.
What'd you do? Blow out your ACL, break your ankle? And she said, oh, no, the day before I had my second shot. So, you know, that different things can create inflammation in the body. And so C-reactive protein at over 5 absolutely is an increased risk for future cardiovascular disease. Does that mean he's going to keel over from a heart attack, or he or she, whoever sent this in? No, that's not what that means. Does it mean they've got inflammation in their body? Absolutely. But get this.
Okay.
Number one reason why we see high C-reactive protein is because their blood sugar is going too high.
Oh, really? Okay, so I really shouldn't have sent the text back to him saying, nice knowing you.
Yeah, you know, he's probably got at least 3 months.
Okay, good. Well, at least I get 3 more months with him. That's fantastic.
So we've got major shift that we see in people's C-reactive protein. Even within 3 to 6 months, it is going to change dramatically. And they say CRP is actually a better indicator of potential cardiovascular disease than cholesterol or triglycerides or any of these other markers that a lot of people are thinking about. So if you are getting your blood work done, run a C-reactive protein. It is a crucial, crucial marker.
Okay, now can other thing, you were saying that, like, you know, the COVID vaccine possibly could have been a cause of this to go up. I mean, 30, that's all. That's true. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, 38. Could
a change in diet do it? Could it be you ate the wrong stuff before you went and got your blood work done? Well, what are some of the, because, you know, like me, when I eat ice cream or dairy, I get kind of puffy. So I would think that's a sign of something, right?
So CRP, usually it takes a while to change. Even if you ate ice cream the night before, your glucose might be different, your triglycerides, your insulin, some of those things. But CRP is more of a long-term shift, and that's why it was so surprising to see that ladies had reacted so quickly and so, you know, dramatically. So the CRP is more of a long-term, sure, and I'm not saying it takes years to change, but, you know, even if we're making shifts in the way of diet and detoxification pathways and blood sugar and all that, it might still take 2-3 weeks to see a significant change in there for it to come down.
Okay, that's really good to know. And So my friend that had this, what should his next step be since it is so high? It's not 38, but it is 5, and like say the top range should be, you know, 1.
Yep. So the next step would be to, if he didn't already, I would run hemoglobin A1C. That's the average of the last 3 months of somebody's blood sugar. So it's traditionally a diabetes marker, but it tells us so much more than just diabetes. Another one we would want to see is non-fasting insulin. So most people are going to run their blood work fasting just so that they can see their cholesterol, blah, blah, blah. That not very effective. We don't get much information from that. But I want to see non-fasting because I want to see what's happening. You just came into the office after having your Big Mac. What's it doing? And so that's what I'm looking for. So non-fasting insulin, triglycerides, and glucose is going to tell us way more than fasting triglycerides, insulin, and glucose. So you want to do your blood work non-fasting. You want to check all those blood sugar markers. And with it that high, he may want to check rheumatoid factor, RF, and ANA, which are both autoimmune markers, because a lot of people that are up that high with their C-reactive protein have autoimmunity going on in their body.
Oh, okay. That's really good to know. Okay, can I switch topics again?
Let's go.
Okay, so now this is on, once again, on your Facebook page. And I find this stuff really interesting because we've talked about, you know, eating. And I know this sounds crazy, but I used to be the guy, I don't do this anymore, but I used to be the guy that would drink like a whole bunch of iced tea or water before my meal, during my meal, and after my meal. And you said that was a big no-no. Don't do that because your body can't digest the food properly. So on your Facebook page, you got top three tips to supercharge your digestion today. And what are those?
Yes. Yep. So one of the first one is what is called proper food combining. And what that means is that if you eat your protein and starches together, neither one is going to digest very well. You're not going to break down your proteins like you're supposed to. You're going to get more likely to get some gas and bloating, and then food's just going to sit there for a while.
So that's what happens to my spaghetti and meatballs.
Absolutely. So all that traditional American fare, you could come up with 10 things right
now
that are going to be traditional American fare of meat and veggies. So that's going to be turkey sandwich, hamburger on a bun, eggs and toast, eggs and bacon, whatever it is. Most people are not doing this correctly. And then their food sits there, and then they have to go get their Tums and their antacids, and they're like, well, it's just sitting and sitting and sitting. Then we start getting reflux, and it's just not much fun.
No, it's not. It really isn't. But that's how we're all taught to eat. So no wonder the country's in so much trouble when it comes to this stuff.
So keep it simple. Eat meat and veggies, and a bunch of good fat. And that's going to be this. If everybody did that for 90% of their meals, we would reverse probably 75% of chronic conditions in this country.
So it's really the stuff that you need to try to avoid is the grains, like whether it be bread or pasta, those kinds of things. Avoid those
quinoa,
kinds of things.
Quinoa, rice.
Oh, rice.
Sweet potatoes. Yeah, any of those things have a potential. Every one of our patients that we care with, they go home with a continuous glucose monitor. They're able to see every 5 minutes, boop, boop, boop. It's going over to their cell phone, tells them exactly what their glucose is. And if you go up too high, my book I wrote, it's called Blood Sugar Doesn't Lie. So guess what? If it's high, it's high. Don't eat it anymore. If it's low, you did something wrong as well. So we've got to stabilize that blood sugar out as much as possible. So meat and starch is separate. And then you want to make sure you're not drinking fluids with your meals. So maybe a couple ounces, a little sip here or there is going to be fine, but definitely not a full-blown 8, 12, 14 ounces. You go to the place, and I'm sure you've done this, Dan, bringing back that refill of iced tea.
That's me. That was me. So, I don't do that anymore since I've been on there with you.
Heck yeah. So you think about it, and pH is the acidity, and that's going to be down like at 3 in your stomach. Water, iced tea, all that, around 7. And each spot lower, so 7 to 6 to 5, each one of those is 10 times lower, not just one time more acidic. It's 10 times more acidic. So if you're diluting your stomach acid with a whole bunch of 7 when it's supposed to be 3, it's not able to digest at all. You're sitting there, it's just really yucky, and it's not very much fun. The other is to eat in a relaxed environment. And so many people are eating on the go. They're standing in the kitchen. They're eating in their car. They're eating at their desk. All of these different things to where they're not able to get their body the chance to digest. And so think about this. Resting and digesting, I actually posted this morning that chronic stress is going to contribute to low sex drive.
Because I saw that. I was going to bring that up next, actually. So
you can either be in fight or flight,
or
resting, digesting, and reproducing. And those are different parts of the autonomic nervous system. So if somebody's in a chronic fight or flight state, they are not going to. I use the joke of the guy up in Fort Collins here a couple years ago that the mountain lion attacked him and he choked out the mountain lion, right?
Yeah.
And so I'll say, oh, someday I'll meet him and I'll ask. And if he's listening, go ahead and give me a call. I'd love to ask him. But if he actually had an erection during that mountain lion fight. And, people are like, that's a weird thing to say. But I'm like, probably not, right?
Right.
His body was truly in survival. And he's like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to die if I don't fight this mountain lion off. I don't need to reproduce. So that's what happens. If somebody has a low sex drive, most of the time, it's because they're never shutting their brain down.
Now, would that be for both men and women?
Absolutely. So women, a lot of times, and we see it all the time, women will say, on one of the things on our questionnaire we ask is, how much in the sexual activity are there? And I've had husband and wives come in, and the wife will call and be like, you better put the same number.
That's good.
So, yeah, otherwise, I don't know where he's getting more. But what happens is, they're like, one time a week or rarely or whatever. I'm like, do you ever even think about it? And they're like, I could go 6 months without thinking about it. And that's usually either their brain's in a fight or flight, or their testosterone is actually too low, which is ultimately a lot of times those adrenals. But testosterone is going to be muscle tone, motivation, and sex drive. So definitely a big part of it is what's going on between your ears is what's going on between your legs. So absolutely, we've got to shut that brain down at the right time. We've got to give it a chance to recuperate and restore multiple times throughout the day. Well, go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say, here's another piece of advice of yours that I've really taken to heart, and that is getting enough sleep. And I have increased my sleep from about 4.5 to 5 hours a night to now I'm getting between 6 and 7. And I can already tell a huge difference in how I feel throughout the day and basically how my body feels. Is that normal?
Absolutely. Yeah, the sleep is one of the least spoken about things when we're thinking about energy, fatigue, all these different issues. And so sleep is absolutely crucial. And so really, when we start thinking about this, just the whole functional medicine perspective is we've got to take a step back. We've got to come down to this point of, okay, where are those systems that are out of balance? And first, you got to figure it out. You got to run the right blood work. You got to do a brain map. You got to do a very in-depth exam. You've got to do all these different things. And then from there, we take that step back and we just go through system by system by system until the body is in much better shape and you do more of the good stuff, less of the bad stuff, and it's amazing the miracles you'll see. And just wanted to make announcement as well there, Dan. We're looking in the next 3 to 6 months, we will be coming to the Denver area with another office.
So wonderful.
For those of you in the Metroplex, keep your eyes and ears out for that. And, we'd love to touch base with people until that time. I had the lady yesterday from Casper, one from McCook today. We had people come down from Laramie, from all over Nebraska, Wyoming. Talked to a lady in Kansas today. So Denver, not that far. Colorado Springs, not that far. So we'd love to see any of you guys. If you've got any issues that you need help with, we're here, 970-282-1173.
Doc, as always, this has been great, really informative, and thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to talking to you again next week.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan. Everybody, be well out there.
Thanks. Okay, and you've been listening to The Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins, Nashville, Tennessee, and Phoenix, Arizona, and soon, Denver, Colorado. Give Dr. Ben and the gang a call at 970-282-1173 or go to fmcenters.com. I've been your host, Dan Muir. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you for joining us for the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben. Contact the Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins now by visiting functionalmedicinefortcollins.com or call 970-716-0079. Join Dan Muir and Dr. Ben next time right here on KLZ.
The health advice and opinions on this broadcast are those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent the views of this station, Crawford Broadcasting Company, its staff, management, or sponsors.